Thank you. Maybe you see. You know, sometimes in life and all, there's a few hiccups coming along. Some of them for the good, some of them for the bad. We wound up with two specials this morning. That's good. I want to ask Brother Sam Pope to come around and give us a special this time. Then the latest trio are going to sing after that.
Like a babe when it cries for its mother, like a child I was helpless, alone. Then I met the Master. Now I am one of His own. For all things were changed when He found me. A new day broke through all around me, for I met the Master. Now I belong to Him. Like a blind man who walks in the darkness, I had longed, I had searched for the light. Then I met the Master. Now I walk no more in the night. For all things were changed when He found me. A new day broke through all around me, for I met the Master. Now I belong to Him. I met the Master. Now
before we sing, all of us have the croup, but Lacey's really struggling this morning. So, Brother Allen, would you pray that God will allow her to sing His message this morning?
I'm glad this morning that I found it all when I found the Lord. 1 John chapter 2 this morning. 1 John chapter 2. We're in the middle of a series this morning, and we're going to stop today. And we're going to do something else. Everything y'all have back there, Brother Trey, is wrong this morning. But I want to be obedient to the Lord. And I want to be obedient to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We've been in the middle of a very fruitful series about the family. We're not going to completely leave that, but we're going to place it to the side today to be obedient to the Lord. I must preach what God has placed on my heart. And I have been burdened the last several weeks, and I have fought it off, and I'm not going to fight Him anymore. And I'm going to be obedient to the Lord and to His call and to His touch. And we must understand that what He wants for us is best. His Word and His will is good and great and beneficial for us today. And so I want to be obedient to God this morning. If you love the Lord, would you say amen? Amen. You know, I don't want to go to church just to have church. I don't want to go to church because that's what we're supposed to do. I want to go to church and I want to experience the Lord. And I want to experience His love and I want to experience Him moving in our life. I'm glad that when I worship God that I can feel Him move among me. I want you to know that God is real today and God is working today and God is alive today. There may be a lot of people that's dead today, but God is not dead. He is alive and He is well and He's working in this place. And He is on the right hand of the throne of God. And I want you to know that He has a purpose today. And if you're lost, He wants you to be saved. If you're here this morning, you're saved and you're not where you need to be. God has a plan for you. And He's working and He's pricking you. And He is using His Word to convict you and get you to the place where He wants you. And I pray this morning that you will be obedient to the call of the Spirit of God today. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to You. And I'm humbly seeking You this morning, Lord. And I need Your wisdom. I need Your Word. I need Your help. Lord, touch me this morning. And I pray that everything that comes from my lips will be in accordance of Your will. Lord, may we hear from heaven this morning what You would have for us today. Oh, Lord, I pray. Lord, I claim Your blood upon this sermon today. I claim Your blood upon this place. I claim Your blood upon every soul that's in this place. Lord, the accuser is here. And he is seeking whom he may devour this morning. And Lord, I pray that we would get him out of our minds. Lord, I pray that we would get him out of this place. And Lord, I pray that You would protect us from him today. And I pray, Lord, that we would allow Your Word to have full reign in this place. Oh God, I pray that we would have Your will in our life today. I pray there would be nothing to hold us back. Lord, I pray there would be no excuse today that we would see You for who You are and Your love for us. And Lord, that we would apply that to our life. And there would be nothing to hold us back from being saved. There'd be nothing to hold us back from following You today. Lord, I love You. And Lord, I'm glad I found it all when I found You. Thank You for saving my soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you this morning. And the title of the sermon is in the form of a question. But the question that I want to ask you today is this: why do men go to hell? Why do men go to hell? That is a question that has been asked in our Sunday evening class, Brother Allen, many times, and we have discussed the question, why do men go to hell? And if there's ever a sermon that you listened to, if there was ever a sermon that you gave the Lord your undivided attention, I pray this morning would be that day. And I pray if there would ever be a day that we allow the Word of God to work within our hearts, I pray it would be today. If there were ever a day that we listen to the preacher and to the preaching of God's Word, I pray it would be today. Because the truth of the matter is, every single day there are people that is dying and going to hell. And every day there are sad and tragic events that take place on a daily basis and that we go through. And I want you to know that every day there are tragedies that take place. There are natural events that take place. You think about the earthquakes. You think about the hurricanes. You think about the storms, the tornadoes, the flooding. And my goodness, of the devastation across the world from simply the weather that we have and from the storms of life and souls being lost, people, everything they have being washed away, and how sad and how tragic it is. But I want you to know that if we have a hurricane today, that would not be the saddest, most tragic event that an individual can ever go through. There's cancer on every hand, and everywhere you look, there's disease and pestilence. And everywhere you look, you see people that's going down with health issues. 8-year-old little girl passed away last night, a friend of our family's, with a brain tumor. How sad and how tragic it is to get that call that you're diagnosed with cancer. But I want you to know that's not the saddest or most tragic event that an individual can ever go through. There is rioting, there is murdering, there is bombings, there are killings. There are things in this nation that is incomprehensible. I want you to know that every day when you turn on the news, there are events that take place that I can't even fathom. I can't swallow it. And every bit of them, from the shootings and from the corruption and from the wickedness, it's all tragic. It's all sad. It's terrible. But I want you to know it's not the saddest thing that an individual can go through. And may I tell you, the most saddest, most tragic event that any individual can go through is leaving this earth without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can gain the whole world, but if you leave this world without Jesus, you have fallen short. And I want you to know that the most tragic thing is not the trials of life, but the most tragic thing is eternity separated from God. I want you to understand today that heaven is a very real place. I want you to understand today that hell is a very real place. And both of those places exist. And I want you to understand this today, that God never sent anybody to hell. That is a lie. That is something I hear all the time. God never sent anybody to that place called hell. Everybody that is in that place called hell today is there because they chose to be there. They are there because they rejected Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. Understand this today, that if you die and go to hell, you can't blame God. You can't blame the Holy Spirit. You can't blame the Word of God. You can't blame your family. If you go to hell today, it's your problem, it's your decision, and it's your choice. And every day as I'm speaking right now, there's people that close their eyes on this earth. And they open their eyes being in torment. May I tell you that hell's a real place. It is filled with torment. You think it's bad on this earth. You wait till you get to that place called hell. You hadn't seen wickedness. You hadn't seen distress. You hadn't seen sorrow. May I tell you that hell is filled with torment. The rich man has been longing for that drop of water for 2,000 years. And today he's still longing because hell is real. Hell is hot. Hell is full of torment. I want you to understand that hell is not a party. I've heard it over and over and over. Boy, when I get to hell, we're going to party it up. There is no partying in hell. There's no celebration in that place called hell. Hell is not going to be a time of joy and peace and happiness. Understand that if you leave this place without Jesus as your personal Savior, you will forever be in that place called hell, and there will be no turning back. And I want you to understand this morning, okay? The worst thing about hell is not the fire, it's not the torment, but it's the eternal separation from God. Because when you get to hell, you are forever separated from God. And when you get forever separated from God, you're forever separated from the grace of God. Even if you're lost this morning, the love of God is in your life. The grace of God is in your life. And understand today that when you get to hell, you can never experience love again. There is no love in that place called hell. There is no peace in that place called hell. There is no joy in that place called hell. There's no relief in that place called hell. We joke and we pick, but there is no joking matter when it comes to that place called hell. And the saddest thing is there's so many people that is exposed to the gospel message. So many people that has every opportunity to go to that place called heaven, but they choose the alternate route. And they decide to push Jesus to the side, and by their decision, they go to that place called hell. Every day, thousands upon thousands and millions upon millions are dying and going to that place called hell. I want you to understand that hell could be a reality for you or for us today. Understand that hell is a real place filled with real people. The question is this: why do people go to hell? Why do people leave this earth without ever trusting in Jesus, and they accept to go to that place called hell? And I want you to understand that John explains this for us. Look here in verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Every person that is in that place called hell is in that place called hell because simply this, listen now, the pride of life. The pride of life. Why do people reject Jesus as Savior? The pride of life. Why do individuals reject Jesus and receive Him as their personal Savior? Because of the pride of life. People go to hell because of the pride of life. I want you to understand something. You possess something, and I possess something within our nature, and it's called pride. It's called pride. John said the pride is of the world and it's not of the Father. Understand what he said in verse 17. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. If pride is of the world and we are prideful, that means we're of the world. And the world will pass away. But oh, I love what he said in verse 17. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I want you to know that if you will do the will of God this morning, you will abide forever. What does that mean, preacher? That means if you will do the will of God, what's the will of God for your life? Accept Jesus as your personal Savior and be saved today. That's the will of God. If you will do the will of God in your life, you will abide forever. You will live for all of eternity. When your old body wears out and you die on this earth, you will live forevermore. I want you to understand this. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Everything in my life may fall to pieces, but if my life ends today, bless God, I'm going to glory land. And I want you to know that that place is a place where all sorrow is wiped away, every tear is wiped away, all things become new. Bless God, there's not cancer in heaven, there's not sickness in heaven, there's not divorce in heaven, there's not tragedy in heaven. All of these things and ailments that we face here, they're not in heaven. And if you fulfill the will of God in your life today, you will escape that place called hell and you will get to go to heaven. That's great news, amen? Man, that's great news that we get to abide forever and the invitation is there. But why do we deny it? Very simply, the pride of life. There are men and women and children that will have an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Savior. And they will deny Him and they will go to hell because of the pride of life. That word pride, please listen, simply means arrogance. It means to be lifted up. It means to think higher of oneself. To be prideful means that we are boosting ourselves up in a higher position than what we ought to. I love the Proverbs. The Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame." Listen to me. Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Proverbs 21:4, "A high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin." Understand that pride in our life is sin. It is sinful to live in pride. It is sinful to boost ourselves up above other people. It is sinful to boost ourselves up above the will of God. I want you to know the Bible calls it sin. It is sinful today to live in the pride of life. I want you to look with me in John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And this is something that we lose sight of. This is something that we don't think a lot about. This is something that we get busy in the day-to-day things of life. And the devil convinces us that there's more things important than eternity. But I want you to understand that there's not anything more important than what you do with Jesus in this life. I want you to understand today that God does not want you to go to that place called hell. And God cares where you spend eternity. God cares of whether or not you get saved. Some people think, well, God don't care. Let me tell you something. God cares today. Are you with me, church? God cares today. And a lot of us, and it's natural, we have the pride of life within our hearts and within our life. And that pride, we lift ourselves up above. And we think we don't need any help. How many men, how many ladies said, well, I'm strong enough. I'm big enough. I'm rich enough. I'm popular enough. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. You will never go to heaven and you will never avoid hell based on your merit today. I want you to understand that there's only one way to that place called heaven. Look in John chapter 11 verse 25. Oh, Jesus said unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Isn't that good news today? If you believe in Jesus, you shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe? That's what he asked the question. And we know the rest of the story. Her brother Lazarus was dead. He come out and he called him out. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And that day the very words of Jesus raised the dead. Aren't you glad that God is life today? Aren't you glad that in Him is the life? But I want you to look in verse 45. And the Bible says in John 11:45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on Him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them these things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council, said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take both our place and nation. Jesus is dwelling in a Roman-led era in Israel. And I want you to understand that Jesus, by right, had every right to rule and reign upon the nation of Israel. But the Romans had taken away that throne, and right now the Romans was ruling and reigning. Jesus performed one of the greatest miracles He's ever performed. He brought life back to a dead man. That's the greatest miracle you could ever ask for. For somebody to be dead to the point that he's stinking, and God step in and brought forth life back to his life. He called him forth, and he came out, and he got up, and he walked again. That's one of the greatest miracles that could ever take place. And the Bible said that that day there was many that believed on Him. But that day there was a group of people that did not believe. There was a group of people that got mad. There was a group of people that got frustrated. There was a group of people that got intimidated that day. And there were some of the leaders there that seen that. And they said, oh my goodness, look at the power of this man. Boy, if this gets out, the fame is going to spread abroad the nation. And these people are going to look more to him than they are to us. And I want you to notice what they said in verse 48. He said, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and Romans shall come, now listen to this, and take away both our place and our nation. The only thing that these men was worried about was losing their place in life. The only thing that these men were concerned about was their position in society. That's all they cared about. And they denied Christ because if they accepted Jesus, they were going to have to lose their place in life. And you see, when we are prideful, we lift ourselves up. And these men had lifted themselves up above the Lord. And they seen the Lord and they seen His power. They were threatened by Him. I want you to understand, in their nature, they were intimidated by His power. And their very first thought was this. Please listen. Their very first thought was this. If everybody believes on them, we are going to lose our place and our position in life. And if we make him who he needs to be, then we are going to lose in this life. And we're going to lose our position, we're going to lose our power, and we're going to lose our stature. And the very song that has been sung this morning, the very song that has been sung about what you gain when you lose everything, understand this today, that very day they had an opportunity to get saved. But they were so afraid that they were going to lose their position. They were so afraid they were going to lose their power and their presence and their prosperity that they denied Jesus because they failed to lift one up above them. And let me tell you today why men go to hell. Let me tell you today why people go to hell. Because they fail to lose themselves and lower themselves in position so they can exalt the person of Christ. A man will never go to heaven when that man or that woman thinks that they're good enough, or they've done enough, or they're rich enough, or they're high enough. Friend, I want you to know you will never go to heaven based on your merit. You will go to heaven based on the merit of Jesus Christ. Understand this today, these men died and they went to a place called hell because they refused to lose their position in life. And the Bible says that they went on and they plotted to kill Jesus. And from that very day they said, we're going to knock him down. Because if we don't knock him down, he may knock us down. Listen to me, please. Listen to me. The best thing that I've ever done in life is when I lost my position. And I lifted myself up in pride. And I thought I was good enough. I thought my deeds were great enough. I thought I could earn my way to heaven. Well, you know, I've never killed a man. I've never stole anything. But friend, I'm still a sinner. You can justify it however you want to. You need to understand today that the ground at the cross is level. And we're all sinners at the cross. It doesn't matter if you're white or black or purple or yellow. We're all sinners at the cross. And I want you to know it doesn't matter if you have $10,000 or $100,000. The ground at the cross is level. And I want you to know that the ground at the cross is level for all men. But there's one that is lifted up. There is one that is highly lifted up among men whereby we must be saved. And I want you to know that it's Jesus Christ. It's the Son of the living God. And there is one that we must lift up above us. And all the Bible said that if he'd be lifted up, if he'd be lifted up. Friend, he's been lifted up. The Bible said if you look unto him, you can be saved. If you look unto him. But what does that mean? That means we have to lose ourselves. And that means we got to swallow our pride. And that means we have to admit that we're not good enough. We're not great enough and we're not big enough to be saved and go to heaven on our own. Let me tell you something today. The only way you will make it to the Father is through the Son. If there's anything you get here this morning, let me tell you this. Your pride is sending you to hell. The pride of this nation. is leading to our destruction. Y'all hear me? This pride that we have in our nation is going to lead us to our destruction. Every day our nation is being destroyed. Every day men and women and children are dying and go to that place called hell because we are worshiping ourselves. We are worshiping athletes. Listen to me. We are worshiping sporting events. We are worshiping hobbies. We are worshiping so many things other than the one that is worthy to be worshiped above all. And if we would lose our pride and we would lose that arrogance that we have in life, we will understand that short of Jesus Christ, we are nothing. And short of that gift and short of that grace and short of that love, I will die and go to that place called hell. And there's times that I wake up and I think I'm this good preacher and I'm this and I'm this and I'm that. At the end of the day, the only good that is in me is what God has given me. And understand this, that apart from Him, I'm dying and I'm going to hell. Mankind has to get to the place and understanding that not everybody goes to heaven. I don't care what this New Age religion tells you. Our world and our age and our church age is living in a fairy tale that somehow or another we can deny God all our life and still get to go to heaven. It's a lie from the devil. Understand today that not everybody goes to heaven. Understand today there's more people that go to hell than they go to heaven. It's a serious problem. We got a problem with the economy. We got a problem with race. We want to fix it, don't we? Let me tell you something. We got a hell problem today. And it needs to be fixed. It needs to be solved. Understand, you can go to heaven. Understand, you can be saved forevermore. What's the problem, preacher? We're lifted up. Jesus said, unless you humble yourselves as one of these little ones, you'll never see the kingdom of God. Oh, if you would humble yourself today. You say, preacher, I'm a man. Let me introduce you to the man above all men. Let me take you today to the Son of the living God. You want to see a man? Look at my Savior Jesus. You want to see who lives good? You want to see who's above all? Let me tell you about a man named Jesus today. But preacher, man, my life is good enough. No, it's not, but I'll show you a life who is good enough. Preacher, I can be saved on my own. No, but I can show you who can save you today. Listen to me. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be lost. You can go to heaven today. Well, Brother Allen, every day there's people closing their eyes and they're going to hell. What can we do to stop it? Our families, our friends, they're dying and they're going to hell. Child of God, we got to get concerned. Child of God, that ought to rip our hearts out to know that our kids are lost. Amen. It ought to rip our hearts out to know that our friends could die and go to hell today. Oh, I pray if you're lost today that you would see hell brighter than you've ever seen it before. And I pray that God would make it real in your life so that you can feel the heat of hell. Let me tell you something. Before I knew heaven was real, I knew hell was real. Because before I ever felt heaven, I felt hell. And I'll never forget as a 13-year-old boy, I could experience that place called hell because I was separated from the Lord. And I bowed my face and I said, Jesus, I can't do it no more. I need your help. Jesus, I can't do it no more. I'm going to go to hell without you. Oh, would you come in and save me? And that very day, the Lord came down and touched my soul and He saved me. And we get up here and we live like devils our whole life. And we think we have done something to get to heaven. We think we can live life any old way and we're going to go through this life because Mama was a Baptist. And we're going to get to go to heaven. Everything's going to be good. Listen to me, people. Wake up. The devil has pulled the wool over our eyes. Not everybody dies and goes to heaven. Church, we need to wake up and understand that not everybody that professes unto Him, Lord, Lord,
Have we not prophesied in that name? Not everybody that serves God is going to get to go to heaven. You say, well, how do you get to go? By fulfilling the will of God. What's the will of God for us today, preacher? By humbling our hearts. See, we got our position up here. And God wants us to remove ourselves so that we can put Jesus there. Can I say this morning? He's worthy. He's worthy. If you leave this place lost, it's your fault today. If you leave this world and you go to hell, it's your fault. You can be saved right now, right here, this morning. We're concerned about everything else. We get concerned about everything in this whole world. But let me ask you this question. If you die today, where are you going to spend eternity? I want everybody in this room to answer that question within your heart. If I died today, where would I spend eternity? If the answer to that is hell, I want you to run down this aisle right now. If the answer is hell, I want you to get saved this morning. If you feel like if you die today, you're not going to go to heaven, you need to run down this aisle right now and get saved. There's saving grace. There's a Savior. There's a remedy. The price has been paid. I got good news to bring. And that is why I sing. Friend, Jesus is the Savior of the world. You don't have to go to hell. It's not all gloom and doom. There's victory in Jesus today. If you were lost, if you're lost this morning, run to God. Let Him save your soul. Quit fighting it. Quit sitting there in your pew. Quit sitting there in your pride. Quit sitting there in that arrogance. Lower yourself down and let God be the God of your life this morning. Oh, would you be saved? I'll tell you what, there ought to be people running down the aisle. Oh, God, save me. God, save me. Oh, there's people, millions upon millions of people in hell today. Oh, God, save me. Oh, God, I'm sorry I rejected you. Oh, God, I'm sorry I didn't receive you. You know what? It's too late. And He said, every man will stand without excuse. Let's stand right now. The invitation's given. Child of God, would you pray right now? Would you pray right now? God's in this place and He's going pew to pew and He's searching us out. If you're here this morning and you're lost, I want you to come right now. Let me show you how to be saved. Come right now to God. Run to the Lord this morning. If you have a decision to make, come right now. If you have a public decision to make, come right now.